Like so.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Love that music. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. Brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight to do Smack My Picks Up for UFC Fight Night 167 and Anderson versus Błachowicz 2. That's right, Yanni from the block. And Corey Anderson running that one back. Also known as UFC on ESPN Plus 25 for all of you all that are keeping track of them. This will take place on February 15th, 2020 at the Santa Ana Star Center in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. I knew I'd love saying that one, Pammy. I knew it. So we're going to do that this evening. Of course, we're going to do our normal format. We're going to do main event, co-main event, and everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into a little bit of Amp Radio Rewind, or as we like to call it, This Week in MMA, about last week's events and all that went down in Texas for UFC 247. I'm sure we've got a few things on our minds. We were lucky enough this evening to have the Fighting Four back in town. Marco feeling much better from his illness last week. Pammy's on the line, so let's go ahead and get into it, DJ Tony. Cue the music for the life of the party herself, Pam from North Carolina.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's happening?
Man, I rushed home from work. I had 8 million charts I had to do, and I got them all done. And I got home just in time. I had to run a couple of errands and made it home just in time.
Well, thank you very much for rushing, Pammy. You know, when I called DJ Tony earlier on, he said, I was getting dressed for the gym. So I'm glad you remembered, Pammy. Thanks for coming out. How was the EMU this week?
Oh, my gosh. I want one for my very own. If I could have one, I would have him. Oh, my goodness. I just adore him. So it's to the point now where when I come in, when I go into the facility, I ring a bell before I go in just to let them know that I'm, you know, opening the gate. And they hear me, man, and they come running towards me. I love it. I feel so special.
Right on. That sounds cool, Pammy. But I did mention him. Earlier on when we were talking, the DJ not in the PJs coming at us from the bright sunlight. Let's go ahead and cue your music, DJ Tony. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ, yes.
It's Tony time, bitches.
I'll tell you, Proteus, one thing that I haven't done in quite some time that's getting me in a better mood.
Absolutely. You've got to watch yourself there. Be careful. I have myself have been getting back into getting that weight off, DJ Tony. I've been running around the track lately. So congratulations to you as well. And let's get in shape for 2020. Speaking about getting into shape for 2020, let's go deep to the heart of Texas. He was off last week. But let's go and cue his music, DJ Tony. From the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. ¿Qué pasa, dude?
Hey, yeah, we missed you last week as well, brother. But you know what? We missed you, but you kicked all of our asses last week, but we'll get into that into the next segment of the show. How you feeling? You feeling better?
What round and rounds are fine, man.
I'm feeling better, but my dog is sick, man.
Your dog?
Your dog is sick?
My lad, yeah, he's under the weather. I don't know what's wrong. He doesn't want to eat. And he's happy. He's
oh, no.
We'll see. We'll figure it out. I've got the moving clinic coming tomorrow to come check him out.
Oh, excellent. Wish you well there, brother. Yes, sir. As you wish. All right. So as I mentioned, we're going to go ahead and get into this.
That's later for the dog.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this one. As I said, we're lucky enough to have the Fighting Four back in town. To the light heavyweight division we go. As I mentioned also at the top, we're running this one back. Perhaps Marco could be a number one contender fight, but you know, with the events that happened last weekend, maybe they're going to have to, the winner of this fight is going to have to be put on hold. Let me give you guys the odds in this fight real quickly. Of course, Corey Anderson, the favorite in this one right now at a minus 190, Marco. And Yanni from the block, Jan Blachowicz, coming back at us at a plus 165. What do you think about this one, Marco? And what do you think about them doing it again, brother?
Well, I like this fight. It's the rightful, quote-unquote, number one contender fight. But, Corey looked awesome his last time around against Jimmy Walker. And then, of course, John Blachowicz, spoiled the party for Luke Rockhold on his debut as a light heavyweight. I mean, these two guys have been looking outstanding, and their rifles number two, three, whatever they rank, you know. The number one contender should come out of this fight, but for what happened last week, and because other prospects are out there that are like more value on the purse for John Jones, we know it's not going to happen. But it's a fun fight. I like it. We find out that Corey Anderson can knock you out if he gets a chip on his shoulder, and he got a giant chip on his shoulder lately. He really won the title shot. And John Blachowicz is not a joke either. Man, this fight is such a toss-up because these guys are really, really, really good, man. I mean, Anderson is mostly a wrestler, but he's finding his power on his hands, and Blachowicz is good everywhere. You know what? I'm going to go with the favorite. Corey Anderson is fighting with a chip on his shoulder. He knows he has to do something extraordinary and fantastic. He completely annihilated Jimmy Walker in his last fight out. I'm going to go with Corey Anderson. I think he's the most physical guy, the guy with the bigger wrestling pedigree. If push comes to shove, he's going to take it to the ground and dominate there. And we find out that he got some pep on his step with his striking. So I'm going to pick Corey Anderson, and I think I just have to take out, but I'm going to pick Corey Anderson with a second round TKO just because I feel that he knows he needs to do something extraordinary to at least get in the conversation of a title shot. So give me Anderson by TKO on the second.
Yeah, and Marco, it'll be, you know, kind of a letdown if Anderson does go out there and do that, what you say, second round TKO, and has to be on the shelf for, you know, close to a year, I would assume, if he's waiting for the champ. But let's go ahead and throw to Pammy, because Pam, Corey Anderson back in action. This is number five versus number six in the light heavyweight division. You know, Anderson versus Yanni from the block. What you got?
I think this is going to be a good fight. I'm actually excited that this fight is in New Mexico, USA. Mm. Man, I wish I could go, but you know, I spent too much money there a few months ago. Yep. You know what? Actually, I have family in Rio Rancho. My mom's sisters lives out there, and I have some cousins that live out there. But
Rancho Cucamonga.
It's going to be, what did you say, Cucamonga?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga.
These guys are, in case you didn't know, decisionators. Jan is coming at us with 10 decision wins. Corey Anderson, 8 decision wins. Jan with 6 KOs and 9 subs. Corey Anderson, 5 KOs, no subs. I'm going with Jan only because I'm looking at his fight resume, and I think he has wins over some people that Corey has lost to. And I'm picking Stipe with bangs. I'm going to go with is this 5 or 3? 5?
It should be 5, yeah.
Let me do a third round submission for me, please.
All right, third round.
Doesn't he look
submission.
Like Stipe with bangs?
Hey, well, I mean, he does look like Stipe. They are kind of from the same area of the world, so to speak. So, yeah, they look very similar, yes.
What? I didn't know Jay Blackwell was from Ohio.
What's that?
Oh,
I didn't know Blackwell was
from Ohio.
Oh, I see. Just like, yeah, I get it. You know, he's not. But, you know, Croatian, Poland got, you know what I'm saying? They kind of have the same lineage.
Nah.
Yeah, okay.
Ohio.
Technicalities.
In other words, all white people look alike is what he's saying.
Wow. I didn't say that. But I'm glad I'm getting roasted already on this show. Awesome. Don't hold back, everybody.
All these gringos look alike.
Goodness. Let's go to somebody who's probably not going to make fun of me. DJ Tony, Yanni from the Block, Corey Anderson 2. We've seen this one before. What you got? Do you got it going differently than we saw last time? What are you thinking?
Yeah, maybe Stipe without the CTE. Ouch. That's
goodness gracious.
Ouch. I know. Here's the thing. Corey Anderson reminds me of the guy with the crystals. Who's the guy with the crystals that moved up in weight?
Oh, yeah. Beeson, 25-8.
What's
his name?
Isn't it Beeson?
All right, well,
no?
Anyway. That's
no, no, it's, you're talking about Cannonier.
Cannonier, that's
Jared
right.
Cannonier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those guys where I don't really trust, you know, like the Neil Magnys of the world. It's like I don't know which Neil Magny or which Lando Venata I'm going to get this week. So,
right.
You know, I look at Jan's body of work, and I see not only has he had double the fights of Corey Anderson, but he's also won double the times, has also lost, right, 25-8 versus 13-4. I get what Marco's saying about playing it close and he's going to go with the favorite, but – Marco, this is kind of a pick-up, right? A minus 190 versus a plus 165. I'm going Jan Błachowicz, guys, because I just think he's bought better competition, including the likes of course, Jacare and Nkunku. So I'm going with Jan Błachowicz because he beat Jacare.
All right, so let's go take your time machine. Let's take your time machines, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll bring you back to September 5th, 2015, which is when Yanni from the Block and Anderson run this one the first time. Of course, if you remember, Anderson did take that one down in a third-round decision. But I think, as you said, Marco, Corey Anderson is a different fighter right now. He's, as you said, got a chip on his shoulder. Obviously, Jan Błachowicz is also, you know, 5 years older. And it's going to be a great fight, like you guys said. I'm loving these. We'll talk about this in a second, but I'm loving these ESPN Plus cards where we're kind of getting better cards, but we'll get into that in a minute. So Corey Anderson, Jan Błachowicz should be the number one contender, as we mentioned at the top. Corey Anderson, as I mentioned, got the win the last time. For shits and giggles, guys, I'm going to go ahead and also choose Yanni from the Block. I think, you know, even though Corey Anderson, much improved, got that one-inch height advantage, and as you said, Marco, you know, better wrestler and really starting to find the power in his hands. I think that's what we're going to see here, guys. And, of course, we got two more rounds in this particular fight for Yanni Block to get the job done. I can't remember how close that decision was back in the day, but I assume that Corey Anderson snuck one out with the wrestling. I think Corey's going to be on the feet a bit more. It's going to go into the later rounds, fourth or the fifth, and Jan Błachowicz is going to get this one done. I'd say fourth round TKO, you know, kind of putting a halt on Corey Anderson's run here. I know overtime is looking for a shot at the title, but I think we're going to put the brakes on here. Yanni's going to get it done. DJ Tony, let's
Who's
rewind
me?
The tape here
on
and go back.
Island.
Yeah,
Who's
just
on
you
island?
On an island. That's right, brother. DJ Tony, hang on 1 second before you cue the music. I need you to go. I need to go back and get your pick because I did not write it down. So you got Yanni from the Block. What do you got? Round and method.
I'm actually going with the round that Pammy said. Because
third,
you
yeah.
guys are decisionators, I'm going decision.
So the fifth.
Boring five-round fight, Jan Błachowicz via decision. Maybe
right.
even a split.
Right on. Okay, so go ahead and cue that music, brother.
Or a Texas decision, which means we don't really know who won. Hit it.
You bastard.
All right. To the welterweight division we go. Unranked Diego Sanchez, the Nightmare, against Michael Pieta. Did I say that right, guys? I'm sure the language police will correct me.
Tejeda.
Tejeda. There we go. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. Of course, we are fighting in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or we're fighting in New Mexico here, so Diego Sanchez fighting in his home state. Everybody loved to see that. I thought that the Nightmare had actually gone to another promotion, but I guess I am incorrect. They pull him in back out of the closet for the fight here in New Mexico. Pam, let's throw to you, of course. You got family there. You just mentioned that co-main event here. Who you got?
All right. Diego, are we sure he's the Nightmare? No, what is the Dream Maker? What is he? The Nightmare.
He's the Nightmare again now. Yeah.
Okay.
The Joker.
Lionheart. He's got split personalities.
All right.
Lionheart.
Diego. Yeah, there you go. I couldn't remember. There's been so many. So Diego Sanchez versus Michael Pineda. He is Michael Pineda. Michelle. Is it Michelle? It's not Michael. It's Michelle.
Guess as good as mine, man.
It's Michael. Yeah, it's
Michelle. He's 10 KO, 6 sub, 6 decisions. He is 12 years younger than Diego. 6'1" with a 74-inch reach. Diego, 38, 5'10" with a 72-inch reach. I like Diego, but man, pobrecito. Losses to Chiesa, Matt Brown, Al Iaquinta, Joe Lozon, Ricardo Lamas, Miles Jury, Gilbert Melendez. I mean, I get why they pulled him out to be on this card, but I'm going with Pineda. I'm doing a, this is kind of crazy. Both of them have 10 KOs. Both of these guys have 6 subs. Diego Sanchez is a decisionator. I don't want to pick a decision because that's boring. I'm going to go TKO. Second round, TKO Pineda.
All right. And remember, we're at altitude here, right, Marco? So we got to take that into account.
Yeah.
Before it's cold right now. Is it freezing? All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's cold up there. It's up in the mountains. It's very cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Before I throw to DJ Tony, I'll give you the odds, okay? Pineda coming at us at the favorite is a -165 right now. You know, Pam's pick looking good at this time with the odds makers against Diego Sanchez coming back at us at a +145. Tony, what you got?
My question to you is, who's crazier, Michael Pineda or is it Diego Sanchez? Because I think they both have lost their mind up in the altitude, apparently. But both of these guys are crazy. One guy is going to burn himself out in the first two rounds, like swinging at air. The other guy is just going to – Pam, is Diego Sanchez considered sane in New Mexico, or is he considered crazy everywhere?
No, I think he's a vato loco. You know, vatos locos forever kind of thing. So, he's
forever.
A vato loco. Yeah.
Well, he's lost his mind for darn sure. So I'm picking – you know what? I just think Michael Pineda is such a he's athletic, right? Even if he's swinging it air, I say he's going to knock out Diego Sanchez, maybe send him into retirement. I don't know how many fights he has left. Let's say I'm losing my voice.
Oh, boy.
No, you ought to.
Good Lord, I'm losing my voice.
Take a sip of water.
Diego Sanchez is driving me crazy. Hang on one second. All right, I got some of it back.
There you go.
I'm going Diego Sanchez. He's going to get knocked out in the third round with a flying knee right before Michael passes out.
All right, I'm going to throw it at me, and Marco, you'll be the voice of reason here on this one. Pineda had 2 fights last year. May and of course in September, I don't know the competition. I mean, Roberts, tough guy. Connolly, pretty tough. One, lost one. Connolly won the last fight in September. You know, and I did. I think if memory serves me correctly, this is when Pineda came out throwing some weird flipping shit, and Connelly just stepped back and was like, what the hell are you doing, buddy? Yeah, so like you said, Tony, both guys are out of their minds. I think that Pietto is going to want to get this one done fast and early. That altitude is going to get to him. I'm going to take first round TKO here. I don't have much faith in Diego Sanchez anymore. Like I thought, like I said, I thought that Diego was signed up for the bare knuckle fighting. I thought that was the news that I heard. So, like I said, pulling Diego back out of the garage that he trains in. But I digress. Marco, what do you got here in the co-main event of Fight Night 167, brother?
Kyle's going to be on an island again.
Oh, shoot. All right.
Yeah, this fight is closer than what you guys think. Michel Ferreira broke himself down, break dancing, and acting stupid and silly before even getting into the cage. Last time, hopefully he doesn't do that stupid shit anymore. He's at altitude. And this guy's whole career has gravitated on big movement, big action freaking stuff, you know, jumping off the cage and flips and jumping knees and crazy shit.
Did you say flames?
Flying knees and crazy shit. Whatever.
Yeah, gotcha.
If this guy doesn't catch Diego Sanchez early on the first round, he's going to gas out. And one thing that has been a constant with Diego Sanchez, whether through his whole career, is his cardio for days. And Diego Sanchez is not going to try to freaking strike with this guy. I mean, I know he doesn't train Jackson Wink anymore, but he's still kind of a smart fighter. And he has been winning some fights up there. It's not like he has been losing a bunch either. He's going to take this guy down and do what Diego Sanchez done and made this guy like miserable for three rounds, gas him out, and decision him in a unanimous 30-27 decision, dude. I don't have faith on Ferreira.
Wow.
The style, he relies too much on the big movements and the flashy stuff. He doesn't rely on fundamentals, and that is going to cost him an altitude, and cardio is going to win the day, where Diego Sanchez has demonstrated his whole career that he's a cardio machine. Give me Diego Sanchez on a decision.
Yeah, you got it. Like that's what my first round TKO was predicated on, Marco, is that he's going to be afraid of that altitude and get it done early. All right, guys, so let's get into
Real quick question. When was the last time Diego Sanchez got knockout cold? When was the last
time? Right, I understand. But he's taken a lot of punishment in his time, right? We can understand that too, right? That time's probably coming.
Well, he
was knocked out. Marco, I don't know if he was out cold, but he was KO'd by Lozon, Ally Aquinta, and Matt Brown. So I don't know if he was.
Oh,
KO'd.
I remember that.
He was KO'd. So, yeah.
It is.
Remember that elbow, Matt Brown? Good.
The elbow from God would knock out an elephant, though.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into the spotlight fight of the night, guys. As I mentioned, this undercard maybe looks a little bit better than the undercard that was UFC 247. I mean, there are more recognizable names on this undercard than there were on the undercard of 247. Just for example, we've got Tim Means. We've got Yancy Mineros here. Just go down the list. Jim Miller's on this card again, my boy. So, Marco, I'm going to throw it to you for your pick for Spotlight Fight Night. And what I was thinking is I'll give the odds on the Spotlight Fight Night. And everybody, if you can try and remind me, I did start this before, and sometimes I forget to give the odds. So, Marco, what you got going here? Everyone's favorite segment, Spotlight Fight of the Night.
So, this is a plethora of riches in here, man. I mean, the undercut is good. It's so good. Compared to last week, why couldn't we have this undercard on last week's card? I just wonder.
Good point.
That's a good question.
I know. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, De La Rosa freaking couple are fighting together on this card. That is so cool. But you know what? I'm going to go with homeboy Ray Borg again.
Yeah.
Rogerio. Body, but I don't know how to say his name. Whatever. I'm picking Ray Borg. He's in a home freaking you know, Huntorf, you know, he's a home, the home crowd guy. And you know the story of Ray Borden, his kid. I always root for this guy. He's a former title contender, and I think he still got a lot left in the tank. I think he's gonna TKO this guy in the second round. Give me Ray Borden.
Okay.
Ray Borden second round. TKO.
Second round. You got it. Of course, let me give you the odds on this one. Yep, give you the odds on this one, Marco. As you mentioned, the hometown favorite, Ray Borg, is the favorite. Minus 145. Pantorin coming back at us at a plus 125. I'm sorry if I'm massacring that name. All right, Pam, let's throw to you. Mm-hmm. Let's get your spotlight fight of the night out of the way here. And what you got?
My spotlight fight of the night is Yancy Medeiros versus Lando Venata. Groovy. I am a fan of both Yancy and Groovy. I think it's going to be a fun fight. FYI, did you know that Yancy Medeiros started his career at a light heavyweight?
In fact,
I did not know that.
Yep, he started his career as a light heavyweight. And then he eventually started training with the Diaz brothers and got his weight down and got into shape. Yancy Medeiros' background, he's got a karate background. Groovy Lando has a jiu-jitsu background. Yancy has 8 KOs, 4 subs. Groovy has 4 KOs and 5 subs. I'm thinking probably the favorite in this fight is Lando, but I am going with my Yancy. And I'm actually taking this one by decision. Yancy by decision.
All right. So, Medeiros for by decision. Pammy, you got it. I will definitely give you both the odds in just 1 second. This one, really, really close, guys. Lando Venata, the hometown or home state favorite. Of course, he's training, I believe, still training out of
Jackson
Wink. Yeah, at a minus 120. Yancy Medeiros coming back at us at a plus 100. So really close fight there, guys, on the odds maker. Exactly.
Almost even odds, yeah.
Is that considered
right,
a pick'em?
Almost, Marco said, almost.
Okay.
All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. What's your spotlight fight tonight, brother?
Well, we are in New Mexico, so my spotlight fight of the night will be Holly Holm fighting the chair, the seat.
She'll be there. She'll be in attendance.
What? Yeah, Holly Holm will be there, right, Pam? How far is Rio Vista or wherever that is from?
Rio Rancho. It's probably an hour.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah, probably not even an hour.
Rancho Cucamonga, by the way, is in San Diego. So about an hour. So let's just say she's probably going to be there.
For sure.
Thank you. But that's not the fight that we're going to go with. But I know what you guys are thinking. I'm shallow. I'm going to play Careless Whisper for the beautiful Montana De La Rosa. Nope. By the way, how the hell did her husband get her? I'm choosing to the women's flyweight I go, Proteus, because I'm choosing Montana De La Rosa, and she will submit Mara Homero Barella. By the way, a really good kickboxer. I'm choosing Montana De La Rosa just because she's hot. Second round.
And that's
the
surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, Rio Rancho is 25 minutes away from Albuquerque.
There you go. She'll be there.
Ooh, bonus. Hit it.
Did you say boner? What did you say?
Wow.
Bonus.
All right, you said submission, right? What round?
Second round submission, Proteus, in the way that we know rear naked choke.
Oh, I thought you were going to say north-south choke. Never mind. Okay. Moving right along, I'll give you guys the odds on this particular fight. Tony's pick, De La Rosa, at a minus 170. Barella coming back at us at a plus 150, guys. I don't think you guys need to wonder about who I'm going to pick in this for my spotlight fight of the night. I always go with my man. And this fight's going to be really good. Jim Miller versus Scott Holtzman. You know, I'm going with Jim Miller on this one.
Hot sauce.
That's right. That's right.
You're supposed to say it's Miller time.
Is it? Am I? It's Miller time, baby. All right. So I'm going with Jim Miller. I'm going to take second round submission, just like you did, DJ Tony, in your pick. Look, this is going to be a tight fight. I think Jim Miller is going to be able to get it done on the ground. Let me give you guys the odds. Holtzman actually coming in as the favorite right now at a minus 150. Jim Miller coming back at us a plus 130.
Underdog pick.
Ooh. Yeah. Miller is for the past couple of fights has been the underdog. Of course, he's the journeyman. Of course, as I mention every time, Jim Miller had the old tick virus and seems to be over it right now.
Lyme disease.
Yeah, that's right. He had the old Lyme and seems to have got it under control. And we're really seeing, an improvement in his fighting. All right, guys. So let's move right along. I didn't get a yay-nay on whether or not we're breaking this one up into two shows from DJ Tony. So we'll roll right along. Into a little This Week in MMA, also known as the Amp Radio Rewind. Hit it, Marco. Excellent. Thank you very much, Marco. All right, so the biggest story coming out of UFC 247, besides the judging, well, it's kind of related to the judging, is the John Jones versus Dominic Reyes fight. Not only did the judges take part of the story, Marco, but in my opinion, I thought we saw a pretty good fight. Marco, why don't you lead us off with your comments of what happened last week, Jones versus Reyes?
Okay. I saw the fight because I squinted really, really, really hard. I saw the fight for John Jones. I gave Jones the second, the fourth, and the fifth. But I had no argument if you saw it for Reyes either, because it was a close fight, especially on the second and the third. The first round was definitely Reyes, and the fourth and the fifth was Jones. It was a really good fight, man. I was super impressed with Reyes. If people think that, Reyes won, I got no argument, because I can see the Reyes winning. The number, the stats actually freaking tells you that Reyes probably won. But my feeling while watching the fight is that John Jones won the fight by like a hair, But
yeah,
besides that, it was a really good fight, man. I mean, we got a new rival for John Jones now, because they had to do the rematch. Controversy always sells, The scoring was all over the place. That guy Solis, the guy that gave a 49-46 to John Jones, it's shameful, because there is no way in hell you can make a case that John Jones won four rounds. Three, maybe, like I did, but four, please. And it kind of sort of tainted like what was a really, really good fight with the controversy, but like I said, controversy sells. John Jones will fight Dominic Reyes eventually. Hopefully, Reyes doesn't have to wait 3.5 years like Gustafsson did, for a year and a half like Daniel Cormier did. I don't think an immediate rematch is strictly necessary, but let them both fight one more in the interim, in between, and then meet again at the end of the year, because if they are that good, the champion, as of right now, the second best fighter in the division, they should be able to beat any opposition just to build up the fight and meet by the end of the year or early next year, because it was a really good fight, I'm not going to lie. Just build Dominic Reyes' name a little bit more, because people know now who he is. The hardcores know now. Now the casuals seem to know. So let's put Dominic Reyes as headlining in a big ESPN card. Maybe the winner of Anderson Blachowicz or even Teixeira Smith, just to build him up. But let John Jones, have an entertaining fight, maybe with Adesanya, maybe with Stipe. Just build Reyes up for the rematch so that it becomes a bigger fight. But he's very deserving of a rematch, man. The guy, in a lot of people's eyes, should be the champion right now. The fact of the matter is the judges didn't see it that way. But nothing but respect for Regis, man. Very good fight.
All right, Pammy, I know that you you didn't get to see this one. So what I'll let you do is I'll let DJ Tony go next, and then I'll get your comment on basically what those two guys have said, and then I'll close this topic out. DJ Tony, did you see it differently than Marco, or did you go with the judges down there in Texas as well?
Well, I didn't see it. Whatever the judges saw, I clearly didn't see that because someone gave didn't he give Jones five rounds altogether, which I didn't see what Marco saw. I can see if someone else. No, I thought there was a 50. Am I mistaken?
No, it wasn't.
But
49-46. Yeah.
Either way, I probably saw that going the other way, because honestly had, what did I have? I had 48-40. I forgot what I had, but I had Reyes clearly winning the first three. I didn't think it was close, and then I think he ran out of gas. Maybe he just thought he was up and just wanted to coast. But, I had Reyes winning the first three, and then, of course, John Jones the last two.
All right. Well, Pam, DJ Tony didn't give you much to go on there, but, of course, we had a little – well, I'd say quite a bit of controversy, Pammy, coming out of this one, because there was people saying, you know, Dominic Reyes got that one done. And, of course, maybe it was mainly the John Jones haters, guys, let's be honest. But, Pam, off of the thoughts, off of what you've heard here, what are your thoughts here? Do you think John Jones deserved to get that one done, or do you think Reyes deserved to take it down?
Well, I think more people than not say, or even on Twitter, read that he won. And
Reyes won?
I would say that Reyes won. And they were questioning the judges, and apparently, from what I understand, there was a lot of bad calls that night.
Yeah.
The fight, like a lot of bad calls.
Hashtag Texas.
I would say run it back for fight week. Fight week is 5 months away. Let's do it then. Why wait till the end of the year?
Right. Okay. So let me give you guys my thoughts here. Go ahead. If you're not done, Pam, go ahead.
I was going to say, tentatively right now for fight week, there's rumor of Usman and Masvidal. So run it back on that card. That would be pretty fun.
I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it either, but I think both guys coming out of this fight, their legs are pretty trashed up, so we'll have to see if anything's damaged there. Okay, so getting to the nitty-gritty of this one. Actually, Marco, I scored this exactly the way that you did. I also wanted to say I knew that this was going to happen just by watching the way John Jones was controlling the octagon. I knew that the way the judging has been lately, no matter what, unless Reyes was able to do something, you know, spectacular to John Jones, that the octagon control that John Jones was putting down would get him the win. Now, if the rounds were about 2.5 minutes, Dominic Reyes definitely would have won this fight. But unfortunately, these rounds are 5 minutes, and Dominic Reyes cannot maintain the level of ferocity that he showed at the beginning of the rounds for the whole round. I want to point out also, you know, John Jones' defensive techniques are really good. I mean, he made Reyes miss a lot. John Jones did get, you know, clipped a number of times in this fight. So shows that John Jones does have a chin. And I thought that maybe the small things that the guys on the commentary were saying were, you know, John was checking a lot of those low calf kicks, you know, shin to shin a lot when Reyes was trying to do those lower calf kicks. And I thought it was a good performance by John Jones. Excellent performance by Reyes as well. And guys, Ollie needed Frazier. And I was speaking last week, about, you know, are we ready for the Reyes era? I don't think we're ready for it, but I think Dominic Reyes really put his card on the table saying, I can give John Jones something. You know, he came into this fight saying that he was going to get in John Jones' face, and that's what he did. But John Jones was able to survive the onslaught that Reyes threw at him at the beginning of each round. And really, when he brought the fight, when John Jones got the fight into the championship rounds, the fourth and the fifth, he really did not put Reyes away, but he did show that, you know, he's got that championship mentality, and he was able to get, you know, do more in those rounds. The wrestling game, guys, I mean, John, go ahead.
A little bit of a stat, because you mentioned John Jones' defense. 95%
yeah.
takedown defense and 65% striking defense. That means that 2 out of every 3 freaking punches that people throw at him miss. His defense is superb. He blocks and slip punches very well. He knows how to manage distance really, really well. And that is what is maintaining John. He doesn't take us, even though he's on these long fights, he doesn't take as much damage, especially on the face, man. And also, a lot of people are calling this a robbery. It wasn't a robbery. It was a close fight. But I will agree to call it a gift, because he was gifted certain, I don't know what to say, he was given more of the benefit of the doubt, because you're right. Reyes came out like a freaking tornado at the beginning of this round, but then the last impression at the end of the round was like John Jones pressing and pushing forward and attacking more. And I think that is what aged the freaking scorecards on those 48-47s, because one judge of the 48-47 gave John Jones the second round, and the other judge gave him the third round. So because I think it was the lasting impression at the end of the round that aged those freaking cards, man. But it was a close call. If you can make the argument that rounds 2 and round 3 might be a little close, and the only opinion that matters is one of the judges on those tables, you know, then, you know, it is what it is right now. Let's do the rematch.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of getting into the conversation about reffing or judging again. It needs to change, and we all know that. So, anyways, let's wrap this up quickly, because I want to move on to the co-main event. Yes, you may.
Sorry, can I just say this? If I don't break this down a little, it's going to drive me crazy. So uppercuts obviously are effectively thrown right to lower somebody else's guard, and they're thrown via close range, right? So I agree with you guys were saying about John Jones's defense at distance, but close by, he was getting hit with uppercuts, guys. You have
Absolutely.
To look. I don't think you're watching that fight, because as soon as they got close, what was Dominic Reyes trying to do? And I listen, there's no doubt about it, and I've said this, John Jones' IQ is probably the only person that has better fight IQ is Valentina. And maybe, but John Jones is that great. And I said this on a show. Showtime said he was going to call once he saw that I picked Dominic Reyes. But if you guys look at this fight, it's a lot closer than you guys think. And listen, I know it's not a robbery, no doubt about it. Might be a pickpocket, like I've said before, but not a robbery. But this fight was close, guys.
Yeah, it was a great fight, guys. Let's be honest. I mean, if you didn't enjoy watching that fight, you're not a fight fan. That was a great fight. Regardless of the outcome, we were going to see, Reyes was able to show us something, which he did. I said last week, whether or not he, you know, if he lost or if he won, we were going to see a rematch. I'm down for the rematch. Probably 8 months from now is probably what I think would be where they're probably going to plan that. We all know that John Jones in rematches is really, really good. So I'd like to see, again, what Reyes can bring to the table again against the champion John Jones. Let's move quickly, because we're running out of time, guys, to the co-main event. Pam's favorite fighter was able to get this one done again. The biggest favorite on the card. Of course, Pam, we know that you didn't get to see the fights because you had a gig that night. So we won't get you too much commenting on this one. So, DJ Tony, let's throw to you first here, because we started with Marco last time. Valentina Shevchenko, in my opinion, putting down a really, really good fight, a clinic, if you would say, not only on the feet but on the ground. DJ Tony.
This was a lot what I thought it was going to be. I thought she would get submitted, but clearly that crucifix actually tends to work very, very well. But we've seen Caitlin Chookagian, I think, is a very good point fighter, guys. I mean, how many fights have you seen – of hers that literally just drag on to the three rounds, and there's not a lot of action, a lot of grunting and a lot of, you know, swinging, but not a lot of action. Valentina, what you saw, guys, is literally one of the smartest fighters. I know that Pam doesn't like her and said, who has she fought? Well, she's fought everyone that she's that's been placed in front of her, right? That's all you can do is fight who's in front of you. But she's fantastic, guys. I mean, I think what you saw, like you said, like Proteus said, a clinic, and what you saw is just very good fight IQ and just someone that doesn't take any rounds off.
Yeah, DJ Tony, just before we throw to Pam to get her comments, and then Marco, we'll throw to you to end out this particular segment and to get us out of here after we do our guilty pleasures. Valentina Shevchenko, once she got her range, which she got her range real quick in this fight, let's be honest, not only winning the fight on the feet, as I said, if she she would have gotten that head kick, guys, just a little bit like inches closer to the heel. We would have seen another highlight KO for Valentina Shevchenko. But again, the way this fight finished, I thought was amazing because she took Caitlin down a number of times in this fight. And then, of course, the fight ending on the ground, as you mentioned, that crucifix, just deadly. And, of course, the ref waved it off. Really, really, really talented fighter. Hard as nails, man. And great win for her. I don't know who's next. Again, this division is light, but what are you going to do? That's just the way it is. Pam, you want to comment at all? Talk about the terrible dancing, like you don't like her dancing?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
You're good. Okay, Pam doesn't want to get into it. All right, Marco, so why don't you close us off on this fight? What were your thoughts on this fight, brother?
Okay, Kelly Sekulian put her coins into the game Mortal Kombat, went directly to the freaking boss and got her ass kicked. Freaking Valentina is so freaking good, and he's standing alone on a division that is not ready for her. And it's going to be like the Ronda Rousey reign. The division is going to just have to catch up with her. Like, you know, like when you got a super dominant champion and the division just have to catch up, like George St. Pierre, like John Jones right now. Like Demetrius Johnson, that is going to be Valentina for a long time. She called out Roxanne Marafari. I guess she wants to avenge her sister Antonina's only loss to Roxanne. Jenny Vermeija and Joanne Calderwood. Of all those three, I prefer the Joanne Calderwood fight first because I think she is the next logical opponent. And then I will entertain a Roxanne Marafari and a Jenny Vermeija fight. But they're just going to feed her, you know, opponents until somebody raises up from the ranks. But let's not do the third Amanda Nunes fight because it makes no sense. You know, we've already seen that fight twice. And, you know, we saw Joanna Jędrzejczyk go up in weight to fight Valentina for the belt. Let's maybe try, like, all of the standout 115ers that to go out. Like, maybe Jessica Andrade might want to come out. Zhang Weili might want to come out after she defended the title a couple of times, which she got a tough task with Joanna here in a month. But, you know, the ones like that might give her a competition. But as of right now, 125, there is not a standout fighter that is going to challenge Valentina for a long time. And she is up and about like the best female fighter second to Amanda Nunes only.
Yeah, and I think Valentino kind of, when she did the call out of the three fighters, kind of did them in the order that make the most sense, as you mentioned. What an excellent fight, and of course, just laid waste to Caitlin. All right, guys, let's start to wrap this one up. As I mentioned, we're going to go ahead and slip into our guilty pleasures of the week. Pammy, you haven't spoken much on this segment of the show, so let's start with you. What do you got for a guilty pleasure this week?
Before
you do that, sorry, Pam, to interrupt you. I apologize. I got to go do the winner of last week. Of course, Marco, as I mentioned at the top, Marco, you wiped the floor with us. You were actually the only one that even got, you didn't get the rounded method right for your spotlight fight of the night, but you're the only one that even got in the vicinity of getting something right on that one. So congratulations, Marco. I believe that's your second straight out win of the year. And of course, you tied with Pam last week. So you're doing great this year, Marco. Pammy, what you got?
I wasn't even there, and I wiped the floor with you guys.
Oh my God, we felt bad because you were sick. Yeah, we felt bad because you were sick. No, I've just been like a super nerd and been watching all these historical documents. One was on the Ottoman Empire, which was really, really, really good. So I'm a super nerd. I'll admit it.
That's all right. Good to be nerdy. I've been mm-hmm. watching a lot of nerdy stuff recently as well. Okay, DJ Tony, why don't you go ahead and give us your guilty pleasure? What you got?
Well, gentlemen and lady, I was actually watching the Sci-Fi Network, and one of my favorite movies came on.
Alternative facts.
No, it actually really is. Haywire with Gina Carano. Listen, I know
wow.
everyone is giving Gina – I'm not joking. I am not joking. I know people are giving Gina credit for her recent acting in The Mandalorian. Guys, it's
That's
still
cool.
bad. If you want to look at her best acting – her best acting was in Haywire,
wow.
and it wasn't that bad.
Oh,
not
no.
joking. Right, Connor?
Mm.
Never mind. Connor didn't even want
to
react.
Absolutely nobody.
Yeah, and of course, McNuggets is in the news. Of course, McNuggets is in the news again, so I don't want to get into that because he's a...
But BJ Penn in the news again, too.
Yeah, BJ Penn. Poor BJ Penn, man. I think the brain damage is getting up. They catch it up to that man. Yeah, but that was fake news, right? That one has been said that it's fake news.
Somebody's getting sued. Someone is getting sued.
And they definitely are. The Miami Herald getting sued. All right, so my guilty pleasure.
Oh,
for this
yeah,
week is,
I heard about that. Good for them.
Yeah,
good
man.
Nate. What
yeah.
the?
My guilty pleasure this mm-hmm. week. I haven't actually started the show yet, but it's called For All Mankind. It's on Apple TV. It's the premise behind it is very, very interesting. It's what if the Russians actually beat the U.S. to the moon, and what the effect that would have had on, you know, the past or the future and everything. So I'm very interested to get that one started. I heard about it on the Joe Rogan podcast. So, you know, it's not an original idea, but, you know, they've got, a real astronaut in behind them making these technical decisions, making it look right, making it feel right. So I'm interested to get into that. So For All Mankind, Apple TV. All right, Marco, it's up to you, brother. You pull up the anchor here. Get us out of here for this week, brother. Oh, and we're all we'll be back again on the what is it? The 22nd is the next UFC fight. So we'll see you then. Go ahead, Marco.
Oh, hey, let me tell you guys something cool real quick.
Hey, why don't you tell us something cool real quick?
Tomorrow is my wedding anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Oh,
right on, man.
Guess
hey,
how many years?
I can't remember from last year. You told us last year, but I can't remember. My
fuck
bad.
You, 20.
30
fuck
fucking
you.
2 years.
Atta girl.
Oh,
way to do it.
I know, right?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to do it.
Anyways, well, happy Valentine's Day, and we'll talk soon.
That's right. All right, Marco.
Don't forget flowers and candy, y'all.
Oh, God.
For whom?
I just want some booty.
For me.
Don't we all. Don't we all, Marco.
Okay. Can I go now?
Yes, you may.
Go.
Okay. My guilty pleasure. Somewhere in the skies. You know I'm into UFOs. Don't ask me why. Richard Pratt has had this podcast since forever. It's on KERA radios. It's super popular among the people that are into UFOs. He got a skeptical eye to it, but, you know, he listens. And he's an entertaining guy. It's more like not an interview, it's more like a conversation. So check it out if you're interested in that crap. Follow Tony and DJ Tony. Follow Pan Pandora Box. Follow me and Maldo Marco. Follow Produce and Produce. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast, Rate and Review at Knuckleheads. We're on iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, Blog Talk Radio, you name it. If there is a podcast in there, we are there. You listen to us, guys, so tell a friend of a friend of a friend that likes MMA to listen to us, Knuckleheads. Bye this weekend. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
All right, and Pammy, just like that.
Buenas noches.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Got to go, Miss Ho.
Excuse me, bitch.
Hey,
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Fuck your bitch ass belt too.